Healed Femur, circa 30,000 BC. Read for you by Gillian Anderson. Several decades have now passed since American anthropologist Margaret Mead gave a university lecture during which she was asked to name the object that, in her opinion, could be regarded as the first sign of human civilization. The student asking this question probably expected her to start talking about a clay pot or an arrowhead, maybe even some form of technological achievement. But after a brief pause for thought, Mead answered cryptically, "A healed human femur." In the natural world, she argued, if an animal breaks a bone, its chances of survival are pretty much zero. It takes several weeks for a fractured bone to knit itself together again, and during this time, the animal wouldn't be able either to get to a water source or to hunt. It would die of starvation or thirst, or fall prey to another animal. Bone finds indicating that a human managed to survive a broken femur many millennia before Christianity imply that someone must have been there to look after them, someone who brought them food and drink, who stayed with them and gave them the chance to heal in peace. The first sign of civilization, then, isn't a weapon or some other kind of invention. It's proof of our ability to look after not just ourselves, but others too. "We are at our best when we serve others," said Mead, concluding with the appeal, "Be civilized." When we think of the Stone Age today, we probably conjure a mental picture based on our primary school textbooks. On one side of this image, we see a timid-looking creature in tattered clothes, crouching beside a scrum of children, the woman. On the other side is a hairy thing, not sitting but standing upright on two legs, not trapped inside a gloomy grotto, but outside in the wilderness, active, not passive. A round of applause for the man. Holding a spear triumphantly aloft, as he faces down a creature the size of a house, a mammoth, let's say. He, the man, knows no fear. He will conquer this colossus and carry it home to his grateful family. What this image suggests, of course, is that it has always been the man who has propelled humanity forward with his conquering spirit. The woman was only there for the purpose of producing children, but otherwise, pretty much useless. After all, hunting requires courage. Caring for children, on the other hand, nothing. There is, however, one fundamental problem with this image, which continues to haunt us and still legitimizes many things. There is little proof to indicate that life in the Stone Age really looked like this. Just like the vast majority of images that have shaped our collective idea of history, this one was also created by men. In this particular case, in an era, the 19th century, when middle-class marriage and the corresponding gender roles were becoming the norm, making discreet housewife the new ideal woman. Early archaeologists and anthropologists viewed their finds through the filter of their own pretty misogynistic era, and they went more or less unchallenged in transferring both the prevailing gender relations and value categories of the time onto prehistory. Hunting, great. Childcare, not so much. These interpretations enabled them to underpin the current attitudes of the time, and were only too happy to have confirmed by science that women had always assumed the inferior role. It was natural, and, right from the very beginning, had sat around in a sweet but baffled way while men single-handedly carved the course of evolution. The only thing is, there's no concrete evidence to suggest these narratives are accurate. For one, archaeological finds indicate that prehistoric gender roles were less fixed than some would have them. Women too went hunting on occasion. For another, It seems unlikely that our ancestors from the Stone Age, an epoch in which don't die was top of the agenda, could have enjoyed the luxury of giving half their society the sense that they were worthless and peripheral. After all, the fight for survival required as many motivated participants as possible. We can even assume that Stone Age men knew that hunting and conquering wouldn't get them very far in evolutionary terms, and that caring for others played a central role in the life of the community, which is just what the so-called grandmother hypothesis has been trying to prove for some time. Much like Mead, the grandmother hypothesis argues that the fact we take care of others is what originally gave us our strength as a species. The reason behind it is as follows. Apart from whales, women are the only mammals to experience menopause. In other words, the only ones to survive beyond the point at which they can no longer bear children. Thanks to Darwin, teaching us that not many things happen just for the sake of it, but mostly to serve an evolutionary biological purpose, scientists began asking themselves, why did the menopause prevail in humans? Possibly, they answered, because grandmothers, or women no longer capable of reproducing, were able to support their daughters in raising their own children, thereby ensuring that they could produce offspring while still contributing to the life of the group. These grandmothers also played their part in helping a larger proportion of that progeny reach adulthood, when they in turn could reproduce. At the time, of course, no one would have been explicitly aware of the contribution these older women were making, but it's still entirely possible to imagine that in an age before sedentism and agriculture, before the concept of possession and its attendant structures of power and oppression, our ancestors lived in a more egalitarian society that was less divided along gender lines than ours, because they instinctively knew that they needed all elements of society in equal measure. Young men who could wave spears around, young women who had children and were good at tracking animals, and grandmothers who brought up those children and watched patiently over the injured until their bones had healed.